Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Enterprise Dish. We are hanging out with my good friend who's in a slightly different location, although somewhat familiar because I've been to that office. We are hanging out with Dux today, talking office, a lot of teams today. How's it going, Dux?
It's great, man. When can you get me that HoloLens 2?
We're going to kick it off with that because I had a side bet with somebody, and I said they're going to show teams. They're going to show teams because before this event, there was a lot of people like, is there going to be a consumer app? I'm like, no. This thing is all enterprise. It's going to be too expensive. The tech is there, but it's not consumer tech yet. We're not to that area. And I bet you, and this is just a friend of mine, I said, I bet they're going to show Microsoft Teams on stage with HoloLens 2 when they announce it. And they did.
You called it.
They did. It was the shortest demo possible. But what they
it was a realistic use case, right?
I mean, think about it.
Yeah, I mean, HoloLens 2, I think they hit the nail on the head with this demo and this version because it's for the first-line worker, people in the factory, people are on the floor. In the grand scheme of things, $3,500 for consumer, yes, it's expensive, but for manufacturing...
Oh, that's nothing.
It's nothing for people in the energy business. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you could do your work plus still collaborate. And you saw that part where she just talked to it, right? And it typed itself and said send. It was good.
Yeah. And they were also demoing the it was you kind of had to understand what was going on. They tried to walk through it, but they demoed the how you can scroll with your eyes. And that's what it brought up Teams, and it showed her scrolling through without, and the key there was without interaction with a traditional PC, just, you know, open Teams, navigate, talk to the team, get back to work. And that is what that product is designed to do. It's really cool.
Yeah, I was watching the demo with my kids. My daughter was like, when can we buy it? Because she wants to play piano like that.
See, that's what's like, you can totally see how consumers and how they can bring that technology when it's ready down to every day. Like, even that's a perfect classroom style example right there.
Exactly.
And you can, like, I was watching it, my wife looked at it too, and she's like, you know, that'd be really cool with math homework too. That if a child's struggling with math and it's, let's just say, it's a whatever equation, that teacher or somebody could pop in and be like, look, and you can draw, like, the technology is fascinating. And I don't say this lightly, but Microsoft does not get enough credit for what they've done because this isn't some R&D project. Like, you can go buy this tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even in the first HoloLens, one of the early demos, the use case was imagine you're learning about history. And then every student and the teacher had it, and they walked through sometime in history what happened, right? They analyzed during the Civil War and looked at the different sites, or even in science where they can walk through Mars, which I believe is what NASA and JPL has been doing with HoloLens. Yep. So many applications.
That was I'm a huge space nerd. Like, I have Universe Sandbox and the mixed reality. I love space and stuff. And so one of the first demos I ever did with HoloLens, back when it was the prototype, like, I don't know if you ever saw these things, but it was like you had to put on a headset, then you had this big backpack claw thing looking. But it was a Mars demo, and it blew my mind. Just an astronomical level. It's cool stuff. I can't wait for this to get more democratized. As Microsoft figures out how to make it smaller, cheaper, better, faster, and all that good stuff.
And it will happen. I believe it will happen. Yeah.
Yep. And again, to their credit, Microsoft has owned this segment. I mean, there's nobody really else out there competing. Now, we know other companies are working on this. That is absolutely the case. But there's only one company who's been selling a product and is now on Gen 2. So they are setting the benchmark that if you don't come in at least HoloLens 2, then you're already behind.
Yeah, I mean, with HoloLens 2, it just eradicated the coolness of Leap, right? I don't know if you saw Magic Leap a year ago now. I thought it was pretty cool because it did some stuff that HoloLens 1 couldn't. But after yesterday, I'm like, boy, you know, that's a high bar right there.
Yeah, and they're already selling it. They've got the corporate customers. And that was one of the things, too, is I got some messages right after it ended because when they announced HoloLens 1, they showed off, like, Minecraft and a couple other things. But candidly, one of the reasons why they did that, at least in my opinion, was to get people interested in it because they didn't have demos. They didn't have customers using it in the real world. And this was the total flip side. They just had bang, 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 all those customers showing how it's used and how it's going to change their industry. It's a really neat product. Really, really neat. So
you're not going to send me one?
Dux. Well, first off, I need one. If I get two, well, actually, I probably need three because my wife will want the second one.
That's right.
Yeah, and then I'll hook you up, Ducks, once I get that
All right.
third one. Once I
I
get
mean,
that third.
Paul's there, right? Maybe
Yeah,
you can
Paul is in Barcelona right now.
text him and say, hey, sneak in and see if there's any demo units they're trying to
Yeah,
get
when
rid of.
Frank Shaw's not looking, just they won't mind. They won't mind. They won't mind. But speaking of teams, because this is going to be a very teams heavy episode, no surprise here. I scooped this one, whatever. I put myself in my own pillow, pan or soapbox or
Pedestal,
whatever.
pedestal.
Pedestal. That is the word I was looking for. Well, Ducks, you've seen this. I mean, Microsoft has shown off how you can blur the background in Teams. Now they brought that to Skype too. Soon you're going to be able to replace that background, so it's going to always look like you're on a very nice beach or wherever you want to be.
That's awesome. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, it's a simple. It's these. I'm convinced that a lot of companies build chat applications, right? That's not terribly hard to do. But what Microsoft is doing is adding on, just layering on different functionality. And granted, removing the background may not be the biggest feature in the world, but it's one more. It's one more that allows you to use Teams in a busy environment that might other applications might not work. It's just the little things that make a big difference.
I mean, this is a good example. That BBC, I know Microsoft
Yeah.
used that as an ad now for Teams, but that BBC news reporter, right? With a kid running in. And that happens to all of us, especially these days where people work from home a lot, regardless if it's distractions or maybe there's stuff in the board that you don't want the person you're talking to see it. Blurring it easily is great. In fact, 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago now, we had the Digital Workplace Conference in Japan with Microsoft. We demoed the blurring, and again, people were just so amazed by how seamless it is.
Yep. It's one of those things too, especially if you're in an open office environment and you're having a conference call and you can't get that corner conference room booked or whatever. This makes it significantly easier to hold a video conversation just like this in a very busy place. It's
You know,
really
one
neat.
thing I do would like to see after the ability to change a background is put in filters. I know it sounds funny or it sounds too consumery, but I think that's the next iteration, right? You can start putting filters, hats and little signs and weather, what have you.
Yeah, and I agree. It can sound a little silly, but at the same time, there's a generation that's growing up that has that functionally built into everything. And so that's just a part, that's just a way of life and another way to express yourself or have fun or do whatever. And if Microsoft can make their applications fun, especially in the work environment, that increases the adoption rate, which again is very beneficial to their core strategy.
100%.
Very cool. All right, Ducks, topic of the day. And I'm going to blame you for this because this was very well done. Ducks and I and some people on his team had worked together. Candidly, I get approached probably every single week for people wanting us to publish content on Petri because of what Petri is, but we're very, very restrictive of it. And somebody on Ducks's team approached me and said, "Hey, we've got this idea for a topic." And on candidly, what I did was I took the content and I sent it over to Tony Redmond because I understood what was happening, but Tony is my go-to guy, all things Office
Right.
365
Sure.
expert. And one of the rare times he's come back, because most of the time when I send him something, he's like, "No, this is crap. Don't publish this." He came back and he said, I think it was just one sentence. He said, "There's something to this, or it might be interesting." And so we went back and forth and massaged it a little bit. But the topic was, is this, who owns Office
That's right.
365 deployments? Who owns it, Duck?
So here's how that came about, right? So we get these questions all the time, regardless customers asking us or what we ask customers. Because oftentimes when they get in trouble or their situations or they don't know what to do, we ask, who owns Office 365? The Exchange guys owns Exchange, the SharePoint folks own SharePoint. I go, no. Who owns the platform? Nobody owns the platform. Now, don't tell me there's people watching this who's going to tell me, well, there should be like a governance group or a collection of people. Yes, ideally that should be the case, but in most organizations, I'm not saying all organizations, in large organizations they got this figured out, but in most organizations we engage with today, there's really no centralized Office 365 admin. It's and again, the cloud has changed the game, right? Traditionally, on-prem, each workload is owned by a different team. And what ends up happening, the issue is there might be teams that's not well suited to own a specific workload. So for example, we see all the time the Azure AD team, or the AD team specifically, owning Office 365 groups because, you know, it's membership, maybe same thing as security group, which is okay. The problem is a lot of the, some of the folks we encounter in the AD world has no clue around SharePoint, has no clue around all the other functional aspect of the other workloads. And that's where the problem comes about.
Yeah, and it sparked a couple tweets, maybe. A couple, would you say? And it's there was a very lively discussion around this, and I think it was eye-opening for a lot of people about, you know, where does the chain of command flow around these different products? Because granted, while Office 365 has, to your point, been around for a while, and we've had these siloed worlds, we're not in that world anymore. We're in that world where everybody can jump around and everything's connected anymore. And so that chain of authority gets really convoluted from what we would have had 10, 15 years ago.
You know, apart from those tweets that you saw, there's a whole chain that's going on Reddit as well. So I know I didn't tell you about this. There's a whole chain that's going on Reddit, which is sparking a lot of conversations. And it's clear that people are struggling with this.
Yeah. And so which side of the coin do you take, Dax? Who is?
So here's where I stand today, right?
Yeah.
Short of the ideal scenario where you truly have a dedicated Office 365 team at the platform layer, short of that, let's say you're coming from a traditional world where you have the Exchange folks, the SharePoint folks, the folks, not to say that one person owns the entire platform and does everything. It's impossible. You'll still have the Exchange folks doing email, SharePoint folks doing SharePoint, you know, AD folks doing authentication, what have you. But I would say the technical lead, without having an Office 365 admin, should be the SharePoint admin. Because of all of them, the SharePoint admin have been engaged and have been interacting with all the different pieces of technology to make SharePoint work. So to me, that's a natural progression of being able to do that for Office 365 as well.
And for all you Exchange admins out there who are now offended, you can find Dux at Shift Happens in June, and you can state your case about why he is wrong.
But I do love Tony's point, though. Tony did a follow-up blog post, and he talked about, in fact, this is an exciting time. This is an exciting world we live in because we can't think silos anymore. Like, nobody's going to own Power Apps. Nobody's really owning Teams. Nobody's owning Flow, right? It's an opportunity for us to learn. And the good news with the cloud is you don't have to deal with the mundane stuff. No more patch Tuesdays, no more backing up, you know, SQL Server. Take that time and use that time to learn what the platform is all about and all these new advanced use cases. So in the end, we help the business.
Yeah, and that's a very, very good point. That if you're stuck in that silo world, you need to start breaking that confines. One, not only because the cloud makes it easy, but two, you could realistically find yourself at a competitive disadvantage if you're going up against a peer who has this all figured out because they have a better workflow, they have better integrations. And so it may not happen day one, but knocking down silos is probably the best thing you can do.
Absolutely.
Interesting. All right, Dux, we teased on it here a little bit. I know you've got a big conference coming up. We've talked about it a little bit, but Shift Happens happening in Washington, D.C. later this year, June, middle of June, correct?
June 12th and 13th.
I knew it was, I can never remember if it was June 12th or 13th because my kid's birthday is right around there too. But what's the latest on Shift Happens?
So for those that are not familiar, we're hosting the first ever Shift Happens conference. We call it the Digital Transformation from the Trenches. The difference with this event is we have real-world stories on how customers digitally transform. We have, for example, MasterCard coming. We have government agencies, CMS is coming. We have Oak Ridge National Lab coming. So essentially, they're going to come here and talk about how they transform their modern workplace, certainly from on-prem to the cloud or what they're still doing with on-prem. And mind you, all, a lot of them are using Microsoft technologies. Some of them are not just using Microsoft technologies. They're going to talk about how they made it work with other technologies as well, things like Box or Dropbox or even Facebook Workplace. So I invite everybody to come join us, shifthappenscon.com. Apart from a lot of these customers speaking, we have industry leaders coming and speaking as well. Tony Towns-Whitley from Microsoft, Jeff Teeper, Father SharePoint's coming, Brad's coming.
I'm going.
Joe. Ray Wang's coming, so a lot of great learnings,
Awesome.
and we're limiting it to a very small group, maximum 250 people, so we get the chance to network and get to talk to your peers and get to talk to with industry experts. So make sure you come and join us.
Yeah, and there will be a link in the podcast post for sure and in the description. So if you want to learn more, go click that link and we will well, we'll be meeting up. All right, Ducks. It is the end of the quick podcast here. What is your dish? What's going on in your world? You're in New Jersey right now, which I've been to
That's
that
right.
office, and you have a great view out of there. But what else is going on in your world, Ducks?
Well, my dish, it's really about driving Teams adoption. Boy, I was in France and Germany last week speaking with customers, and everybody is excited about Teams and working with IT in the business. But my words of wisdom and my dish for this week is just start slow. Start easy, take simple use cases, and then go at it. If you want to learn more, check out our website. We've got tons of resources around Teams. We got free workshops around the world. You'll find out more about that. Just come to our website.
Say, very good advice from a man who has, well, as his conference is going to be about from the trenches, you get advice from ducks. And I don't know how we got onto this topic, but we did it in January and people have been asking. It's the most random thing ever, but I am still on track to hit all my fitness goals for the month. This one's been rough. Not rough, but so what my goal was, or what I have to do this month, according to the thing I wear on my wrist, is 550 calories a day burned, which doesn't sound like a lot. And on days that I go to the gym, very easy. The challenge is I don't go to the gym every day. I go every other day. And so when you have that lazy Saturday or whatever, and you only get 300 or whatever, that sneaks up on you. It really does. And so as long as I get, I think, 575 calories every day for the rest of the month, I'll clear my goal pretty easy. But somehow this podcast is the one that's keeping me
Good.
public and open about hitting all those goals. And
So as a
yes.
result,
Let's
I'm going to put you point blank here. How much weight have you lost?
So this is a loaded question because my wife, and I don't know how we got on this. My wife came home one day. Are you familiar with Whole30 by any chance?
Yes.
My
Yes.
wife came home one day and she says, "Hey, I think I'm going to do Whole30. Why don't you do it with me?" And so I was like, "Oh man." So this started 3 weeks ago, so we're almost done. But that was a shock to the system because I don't think that I eat terribly. But when you do Whole30, there's
No
no eating
carbs.
out. There's no fast food. There's no cheese. There's no bread. There's no chocolates. There's no anything with added sugar. And so, since we started that, I'm down about 10 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
So wait, no alcohol too, I guess,
No
right?
alcohol. I haven't had a drop, which to me, I only drink socially, so that's not a big like.
Sure.
Honestly, the hardest part of this for me was cheese. That was it. Because like you can have a hamburger, no bun, obviously, but having cheese on there makes it so much better. There's no pizza really, but you can do like imitation pizzas, but there's no cheese on it. Like it's just like you can use like cauliflower as a crust, and then you can make pizza sauce, and then I put pepperonis and banana peppers on it, and you eat it, and it kind of tastes like sadness, to be honest. So, February has probably been my healthiest month, honestly, in 20+ years. And so the goal of Whole30 is not so much that you're going to give up cheese for the rest of your life or give up alcohol for the rest of your life. It's to establish better eating habits. So the thing that we've gotten out of it is, okay, so this is what, Whole30 is, but maybe when we go to make food after this, we'll use some of the recipes that we discovered. Maybe I won't eat bread with a hamburger, but I'll still have a cheeseburger. But it's about learning, one, how much sugars and everything, but two, just sensible meals that you can make that are really healthy.
How do you feel?
So, honestly, it's rough like the first 10 days because it's almost like withdrawal. But I will tell you that I have never slept better. Like I go to bed at night and I sleep, unless my kid wakes me up or my dog. I sleep very sound. You kind of, they call it, I mean, it's like a detox, if you will, but it's once you kind of get established in it, you honestly really do feel a lot better. Like I don't feel nearly as tired in the afternoons anymore. I have no problem going to bed. I mean, I haven't had really much sugar other than like what's in fruits and vegetables since I don't know, 3 weeks ago, I guess. So,
and you can still do coffee too, right?
Yes, you can. You can absolutely still do coffee. So I don't drink coffee. I love the smell of it, but I never got into it. And yeah, I mean, it's honestly, it's just a lot of meats, veggies, and fruits. And you can still do potatoes. We eat a lot of sweet potatoes, which aren't the healthiest thing in the world, but they give you like that substance that you need in life that is kind of like a filler almost. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Good, man. Well, I'm gonna see how next month goes.
Yeah. I'm candidly a little bit nervous about the food stuff's fine. It's the exercise because this can get intense. That's why I'm like, by the time we hit Ignite, I'm very curious to see what my like monthly goal is because it ramps up each month.
It goes up.
Yeah. So what it does, it's a different challenge every month. It's not necessarily calories. Like next month might be average, I don't know, do 3 runs that are 3 miles 3 times a week or something or whatever. But what it does is it takes a bench line from the previous month and then increases the amplitude of it.
Mm.
So you got to be smart about it because you can, like, if I went to the gym every day, which I wouldn't mind doing, but then my next month is going to be, like, it's just going to keep ratcheting up. And by the time Ignite rolls around, it's going to be like run a half marathon every 3 days or something. But so, all right, man. Very much appreciate your time very much. And, have yourselves a wonderful week, and thanks for tuning in, everybody. Make sure to hit that subscribe button. Check out Shift Happens. We got a lot of stuff going on. We are heading towards Build here. We've also got a whole bunch of other conferences coming up. I almost said Ignite again. But have yourselves a wonderful week, and we'll catch you right back here next time on the Enterprise Dish.